Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of oaths in James 5:12. You may contact us by email at our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com, or write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Any donations in check or money order form should be made out to Bible Believers Fellowship, and you can also contact us or donate by visiting bbfohio.com. Now we begin with the current events update and then our study of oaths in James 5:12. This is part one of two. I turned the video up, got to turn that down. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, this really happened. A war memorial was defaced with the words, quote, "The real heroes are the vaccinated."
Wow.
True story. There's a zoom in. It's a war memorial wall. But the good news is, you say, there's good news? Yes. The police were notified of the graffiti at 7 a.m. and city workers were able to scrub it off in time for an event later that day.
Amen. Where was that at?
So, I didn't look. I did look last week when I first saw it, but I forgot to I forgot where it exactly was. Number two, even good resources must be viewed with caution. We recommend medical information coming from Dr. Vladimir Zelenka. He made a outpatient study and found that the combination of zinc, hydroxychloroquine, and azithromycin is associated with less hospitalizations and death for COVID-19 patients. And there are many people around the United States of America and even around the world who testify to the fact that when they got COVID, they took these treatments and they didn't end up in the hospital, didn't end up on ventilators and dying. He has, last I heard, of all his patients for COVID, he has not had a single one die and hasn't had any of them have to go on ventilators. Not a single one. And he's including several other doctors that are all doing the same thing. But good medical info mixed with spiritual poison. And so that's something that we warn you about every once in a while. There are people who you can get good information from, but as soon as they start talking about the Bible or God, then you better be very careful. I'm going to show you, this is, he's preaching what, actually I've heard a similar thing from several other conservatives or patriots or whatever you want to call them. The global divine great reset. Now, Sunday we talked about the great reset that's coming from the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, and all that. But the idea that the whole world's going to come together as one and be in unity and peace and all that. Well, and there are these patriot people and groups who are preaching the same sort of thing on the... They're offering it as an alternative to what's being done by the United Nations. Both are downright satanic. Either one of them are wrong. Because what they're preaching is a unification apart from Jesus Christ. That all religions are all okay and we should hold hands and get along with everybody. This is what for some reason they sped it up a little bit. He usually doesn't sound quite this sped up when he's talking.
So my name is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, and this message is for all my brothers and sisters of humanity. We've been on a very interesting and dramatic journey.
First of all, did you hear he said that this is a message for all my brothers and sisters of humanity?
And this message is for all my brothers and sisters of humanity. We've been on a very interesting and dramatic journey the last 14 months together, but I'm very optimistic about the future. We're on the verge of a great awakening, the great reset, and I'm also a globalist, but from a little different perspective than we have heard about. I'm a globalist in the context that all of humanity will be basking in the truth and in the glory of the knowledge of the Creator when He has revealed all of humanity. And that will lead to the Great Reset, where all the forces of evil, impurity, lies, the false narrative, the ones that have propagated this death and fear upon us innocent people, will be exterminated. So people ask me, what should they do? My answer to them simply is stop living in fear. Reintegrate back into your lives, into your families. Restore normality as best you can. Show no fear. The fear is the tool and the weapon of the enemies of humanity. So let's make a great reset and usher in the global revelation of the knowledge of our Creator.
See, is it some truth mixed with error? Is that the reality is that these people who are pushing the United Nations version of the Great Reset are using fear and are trying to scare everybody into submitting to tyranny. But the answer is not an alternative Great Reset where, as he said, all of humanity comes under a revelation of the Creator. Well, if it's the true Creator, that would be great. But he rejects Jesus Christ as Messiah. And he rejects Jesus as his own Lord and Savior. And so he's preaching the same Luciferian one world religion that the people he doesn't even seem to recognize that the enemies of freedom that we're going to actually talk a little bit about during our study tonight. They are pushing for a one world religion just like he is. And so you got to be very careful about who you listen to, especially when they start talking about spiritual things in the Bible and in Bible prophecy. I've heard some of these guys start talking about Bible prophecy and they just butcher it. And you'll get the same sort of thing from others like these guys. We talked about a couple of them Sunday, but Glenn Beck is a Mormon. And his views on God and salvation and prophecy are all messed up. When he was endorsing Ted Cruz back in 2016, he was actually an anti-Trumper. And he would go to these rallies and start preaching and crying and carrying on about how, you know, that he kept saying things like, the priesthood is arising. And people are like, what is he talking about? Well, the Mormon priesthood is a Melchizedekian priesthood, and they think that they're eventually going to, you know, rule the world. So then you have Ben Shapiro. He has some good things to say on especially the moral issues of the day, but he's an unbelieving Jew. He rejects Jesus Christ. And so you'll hear him say things anytime he touches on moral issues, he's pretty good. But when he gets into biblical or prophecy and things like that, then there's Bill O'Reilly, a good nominal Catholic. And he's, I think, somebody told me he's pushing like for unvaccinated people to be like segregated and everything. He's gone kind of off the deep end on that. But who's that? Steve Dace, who's on Blaze TV with Glenn Beck. He was really going off on Bill O'Reilly last time I saw him. So look into that. But Bill has this idea, as long as your religion causes you to be a good person, you're fine. You know, that's all that matters. Dennis Prager is a Jew. He's a very moral theist Jew. But he rejects Jesus Christ. And I've actually read his commentary on the book of Exodus. And it's very sad to listen to. Spiritual blindness, that veil that's over the face of the Jew. Then Alex Jones, sometimes he'll say things and you're like, wow, that's right on. Of course, whether it's politics or religion, I don't agree with everything he says, but he's been right on some things. And his documentary, The End Game, is one that we, I think, have in our library, and we recommend you watch that. But his idea of salvation and everything, he starts to lean into the New Age ideas and everything. And he has a guy named David Ickes, I believe is how you pronounce his name, I-C-K-E-S. And he's a nut. And he became famous, really, because he started claiming he was Jesus back in the late 70s, early 80s. And now he doesn't answer. He won't talk about it most of the time. But Alex Jones, I think last I checked, he still has him on his show and everything. Mark Dice, he's got some really good videos. He does the jaywalking thing. You remember Jay Leno would go out on the street?
Yeah.
Well, I've shown a couple of Mark doing that. Very revealing. But he came out one day, just a couple of years ago, blasting people who believe in the rapture and, you know, going against dispensationalists and everything. So it's a couple more I'll show you is Tucker Carlson. I've read, I think, most of his books, and I think he's one of the better news commentators you can listen to. But as soon as he starts talking about the Bible and beliefs, he holds a very universalist kind of idea about God. He attends the Apostate Episcopalian Church, if I remember correctly. Then Sean Hannity, who I appreciate all these guys. I think they're all providing a good service when it comes to educating people about what's going on in politics. But Sean Hannity has made a profession of being a Christian, and I hope he is. I believe he is. But he's also still a Roman Catholic. At least he still identifies with that religion. And he'll say things every once in a while. I haven't watched him much over the last few years. But we used to turn him on every once in a while to watch, and he would say things, you're like, oh. So anyway, there are others that we're not going to go through the whole list tonight. But at all times, test and prove what you're watching, no matter who it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. I know just say this. Every once in a while, there's been somebody who has their favorite political commentator or something, and all I have to do is say something that is a word of warning, and they get upset with me. And that's another thing. Don't allow yourself to become a member of a personality cult. And I don't think there's a problem with anybody treating me that way, but there have been a couple of times where in the past, I'm not talking about Charmaine, but she thought I was talking about her one time, but I was talking about people who, you know, kind of want you to be their guru. And you go to a lot of fundamental Baptist churches, and the people in the pews, man, they think that preacher up there is like the thing. And here's the thing right there.
The King James Bible is the thing.
And I hope you enjoy me teaching it. And John, when he teaches, and anybody who's teaching the Bible faithfully, King James Version, you should appreciate them. Be thankful for good teachers. But the teacher ain't the thing. And the Word of God is the thing. Amen? Oaths. James 5:12. James will now sum up his letter with a number of short admonitions, beginning with this admonition we read here in verse 12. If you're there, read it with me. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Amen?
Amen.
That's swearing oaths is what he's talking about, and they are fraught with danger, especially when they are false and or, I should say, not kept. You should just, anytime you say you're going to do something, you should do it. But then people make oaths and things, and then they don't do it. And I wondered about how many people have been in a real fix one way or another, and they swear an oath and swear to God, to Almighty, that if you get me out of this, I'll do this, 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 and then they don't. That's just not a good thing to do, and God actually hates such oaths. In Zechariah 8:17, And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And I don't know that anybody in here has really had to deal with this. If you've ever sworn an oath, we'll talk about a couple of instances where some Christians have got caught up in this stuff. But James is repeating Jesus' teaching. Scripture was scripture. Jesus' teaching is ignored by most, by the way. Let's look at it in Matthew chapter 5. Go over to Matthew chapter 5. 33 through 37. Verse 33, if you there read it. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old, old time. Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Now he's saying, the people been told in the past, you know, you don't swear an oath unless you're going to do it. But now, look what he says in verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So a lot of interesting little comment or phrases in there. But I've heard some people, when they're pressed on something, they're accused of something, and they'll say, I swear by it, and they'll fill in the blank. Sometimes some of the craziest things they'll say. And swear by heaven. It's God's throne. Don't swear by earth. It's his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem. It's funny. It says, not to swear by their own head. I've never heard that one before. Have you heard that one before? But, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. And it's funny. We were watching the show, Lark Rise to Candleford. It's a good English show. And fella found a little bag where his wife had put some little things in there. You know how superstitious people are? And they put this or that, and then they'll say a certain thing, and they'll put it under their pillow, and it's supposed to do something. And so the husband found it, and he went off to the lady in the village who's known to be the concoctor of all that stuff, named Queenie. And he says, "What? I found this. What is this about?" And she says, "Oh." And basically says, you know, that it's to fight having gray hair. So he starts thinking, oh, my wife's starting to worry about her age and her gray hair. So then he tries to delicately deal with her, and one thing leads to another, and finally she has to tell him, it wasn't for me. It was for you. He was starting to get gray, and this was the late 19th century setting, and everybody didn't look at themselves in the mirror all the time, you know. So they didn't know. And so it was just kind of funny because, I mean, how many of you come from a background with that kind of superstition? People would do that kind of stuff. I mean, how many of you put a tooth under a pillow? Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Where it came from, though.
Yeah. How many of you have been around somebody that spills salt and throw some over their... If you spilled salt, they throw some over their shoulder. How many of you have seen somebody open an umbrella and somebody in the place freaks out about it?
I just want to grow up. We have a black cat cross our paths.
Black cats crossing paths.
We're still here.
I've been in cars with people driving and a black cat cross that road. They stop and turn around, man. And how many of you have seen people who come in one door always go out the other?
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you don't go back out the same way you came in. What'll happen? I'm not really sure what the fear was. But you know what? I mean, how many of you have a knock on wood? You ever had anybody knock on wood? I mean, yeah, and somebody, they'll joke and knock on somebody's head. Somehow knocking on wood is supposed to release some kind of superpower or something. There's all kinds of things. If you think about it, the crazy things that people believe in. That's what really, when they're swearing, and they're swearing by these things, they think it's giving them some kind of power, a power to their oath. And it comes of evil. That's what Jesus says right there in verse 37. Just say yes or no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, back in James, what did we just read? In James 5. He says, lest ye fall into condemnation. See? Same, not exactly the same, but similar what he's saying there. In other words, it's just bad stuff. Jesus did nothing in secret and founded a faith that is the opposite of a secret society. We don't have secret meetings. Now, there are Christians who, for safety reasons, do hide. They'll meet in outdoor, in out in the forest or in a cave, or, you know, but that's not in an effort to be a secret society. It's an effort to stay out of prison. It's an effort to avoid persecution. Normally, under normal circumstances, Christianity is open. We preach openly what we believe. There shouldn't be, there's no such thing as a secret agent Christian.
That's right.
What is it they call secret service for the president? You know, we don't have a secret service in the Christian church. Jesus said this in John 18:20. Jesus answered him, Mary, you better check me out, make sure it's John 18:20 there. She caught me on one Sunday. But Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Jesus didn't run around having secret meetings, and he didn't have a secret. He didn't make all the apostles take a secret oath and have a secret handshake. And I mean, sometimes it's cute and funny when you're little kids. You know, you remember the little rascals? Show me the high sign. You remember that? You know. He-Man, Woman Haters Club. That's cute, you know. But they were mimicking probably, you know, what the older people were involved in, the Masons and the lodges and things. What is it, Fred and Barney? They were in the Water Buffaloes or something like that. Now, Freemasonry is the foremost secret society in the world. I'm sure everybody here knows what a Freemason is. Everybody knows what a Freemason is. Before I move on, I'm just going to tell you, I've always just taught the truth about Freemasonry, and I've got myself into trouble. And I'm not going to stop preaching the truth about it. And we have a book by Chick, Should a Christian Be a Mason? We give them away for free. The first book I ever read on it was by John R. Rice about the Lodge. And we have a video, if it's still in here, by Jeremiah Films, From Darkness to Light, it's called. But Freemasonry has an oath when you join the lodge. And that what you see in this little symbol here is the compass and the square, because it was born out of legitimate efforts to protect workers' rights and that sort of thing. And literal masons, who is a trade guild, and they lay block masonry and all that. And it was, it's like most things. It started out with actually some good reasons and did some good things. And they still do good things. I mean, you heard of the Shriners Hospital. You know, we're not saying that Freemasonry is 100% evil, because that's not normally how Satan works. Yeah. Satan usually puts up a nice front to then get you sucked into this thing. And if you want to become a mate, yes?
Well, Well, even like the schools, colleges, I mean, they start on good things.
Yeah.
And then they're
The parasites come in, called liberals.
Yeah.
And they take over the schools and ruin them. That's happened in all the Yale, Brown, Harvard, all of them, and a lot of the Christian universities and seminaries that are now apostate. You know, they started out fine, but then parasites came in and started sucking the life out of them. But this is the oath. It's pretty general. There are some differences in certain regions, but not really big differences. That you put in your name, of my own free will and accord in the presence of Almighty God, and this worshipful lodge erected to him and dedicated to the Holy Saint John, etc., etc. It says the master presses his gavel.